It's nighttime as an old beat-up blue car drives down a hill toward a city. Meredith Baxter in. A mother's justice. A balding man is driving the car and looking around. Starring G.W. Bailey. Carrie Hamilton. He follows a young woman who's walking alone. He watches her as he slowly drives behind her. Lumankuma. Ken Faree. Madeline Rue. The woman gets into an SUV and the man drives past her. Music by Richard Bellis. As he continues driving, he spies another woman walking alone on the sidewalk. She stares at him as he drives past. A blonde-haired woman is standing alone as she talks on a payphone. The man in the blue car pulls up behind her and watches from his car. She doesn't see him park behind her. Wearing a blue jacket, the man gets out of his car. As he stares, a young man walks up to the woman and puts his arm around her. She hangs up the phone and they walk away arm in arm. Soon the balding man is again driving down a dark, wet street. In an upstairs apartment over a business, a young woman sings as she plays her guitar. A tape recorder is running beside her.
It may be born, but the pain will never change.
A dark-haired man's pacing in another room.
I've gotten rid of his picture. I've gotten rid of the ring.
He checks his watch.
It's been 3 weeks now. Don't you think that the hurt should have ceased?
Come on out of there.
Danny, you screwed up my best tape.
This ain't a recording studio.
You said I could use the room.
I didn't say you could lock yourself in there for 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah.
God, I'm gonna be like, I'm sorry, sweetie. I just lost track of the time.
Yeah? What am I supposed to do when you're in there practicing to be Madonna, huh? I can't watch TV.
Debbie puts her guitar in a case.
Do you like the song?
That ain't the point.
I know that ain't the point. I kind of wrote it about you. You know, it wouldn't kill you to say you like my voice if you do.
That song's about me?
Mm-hmm.
You wrote that song about me? Huh? Your heart skips a beat over me?
Yes.
How come?
I don't know, it does.
She jumps off a bed.
Well, I know I'm this fantastic looking dude, and I got all this money, because I'm like, what's that guy's name? Donald Trump? Because I'm like Donald Trump's secret son and all, but besides all that...
I think it's because you need me.
Hmm?
Yeah.
They kiss, then she pulls away.
Mm. Oh, Danny. Danny, I gotta go.
Hey, how about calling in sick?
I can't.
Come on, that place won't fall down without you. I need you, baby.
Oh, I need you, too. But I'm still probationary. If I want to be a real nurse
Fine.
Today, I...
Go ahead, take off.
Danny, come on. Every time we see each other, we have sex. Just this once, you think you could cut me some slack?
I said okay, no sweat.
He takes a swig of his beer.
Thanks for the use of the hall.
Yeah, shut the door.
People are getting on a city bus as Debbie approaches.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait! Hey!
The bus leaves without her. With her guitar slung over her shoulder in its case, she goes back to the bus stop. She stands alone on the street corner and looks around. The balding man in the old blue car drives past. A man in a trench coat and hat walks up to her.
You've been waiting long?
No, just a couple of minutes, but I just missed the number 10.
The man checks his watch, then walks away. The balding man walks up.
Do you have the time?
No, sorry.
What did you say?
I said I don't know what time it is.
He pulls a gun on her.
Hey, you.
I'll blow your head off.
He drags her down the street. He pushes her into some bushes. She tries to crawl away, but he grabs her and hits her.
No!
What do you mean?
No, please!
I got dead.
He handcuffs her.
Somebody!
He quickly stuffs a rag into her mouth. He puts tape around her head and over her eyes. He puts his blue jacket over her head. With her feet just off the ground, the man carries her across the street to the waiting old blue car. He puts her down on the front passenger side and she struggles to free herself. He gets behind the steering wheel. He tries to start the car, but she tries to stop him.
You do that again and you're dead. Do you hear me?
She nods.
Get out.
They drive away. A man and woman see Debbie's guitar case on the sidewalk. A man is screaming in a hospital bed. Two men are trying to change his bedding as he struggles in his restraints. A woman with short blonde hair enters.
What the hell is going on here?
Well, we're just trying to change his bed.
Without taking off his restraints? I don't believe this.
He clobbered Howard on Dave's last week. It took 8 stitches.
Okay, I'll do this.
Look, we checked this out with the freight officer.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Don't worry about it. I'm over fortune.
She puts a clipboard down and looks at the restrained man.
Oh, Emma, you stink.
He stares at her.
All right, I'll clean you up. I'll change your sheets. Before I do, let me take off your restraints. Now, you're not going to cause any trouble, are you?
He shakes his head.
Hmm? Lila, he has been in these things for over a week. He is filthy.
You are endangering all of us. You have no right.
Then leave the room.
Emmett and I want to be alone anyway.
The other nurse storms out. The two men leave and shut the door.
You heard her, though, Emmett. If you hit me, if you dare hit me, we are both in deep doo-doo.
Security, get me Sergeant Cumminger. This is 4 East. It's an emergency.
Lila slowly removes Emmett's leg restraints.
Very good, Emmett. It's very good. Coming along just fine. We're getting along real good.
She releases his arm and he backhands her. She gingerly touches her lower jaw as she picks herself up off the floor. She glares at Emmett, who frowns.
I'm gonna choose to believe that that was an accident. That was an accident, wasn't it?
He nods quickly. The security officer, Sergeant Cumminger, hurries down a hallway. He and the nurse open the doorway to find Lila changing the bedding as Emmett's sitting meekly in a chair nearby.
Hi, Joe.
You know, your wife is really stupid.
Sergeant Joe Cumminger takes a deep breath. The old blue car pulls into a secluded area and comes to a stop. He turns off the headlights, gets out, looks around, then drags Debbie out of the car. With his large arms around her, he looks around again as he lays her down in the back seat. He unzips his pants and crawls on top of her. Joe is touching Lila's bruised jaw in a restaurant.
This is going to be some bruise.
He didn't mean it. He always swings like that when I first take the restraints off. It's like a reflex. I should have ducked.
They have those people restraints for a reason, you know.
Yeah, that chicken liver. Friedhofer locks them down if they sneeze wrong.
Still a damn dumb thing to do.
What am I supposed to do? Call security every time I go into a patient's room?
Yeah, for the dangerous ones, yeah. I mean, that's what we're there for.
You come save me?
Yeah, sure.
As they kiss, a waitress approaches.
How's my favorite Dodger fans?
Oh, great.
Hey, listen, you know, I've been meaning to tell you. You know my aunt? She's got this cousin that stays up at Woodlands, you know where Debbie works?
Mm-hmm.
And she went up to visit her and to hear Debbie singing for all the patients.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, she does that sometimes.
My aunt said she was real good. I mean, real good. Like she could do it professional.
Yeah. Yeah, just like the 10 million other kids out there twanging guitars who aren't making a living.
Well, I suppose you're right. Anyway, just thought you should know so that you could play Proud Mama.
Yeah.
So what are you two newlyweds having tonight?
Newlyweds? Yeah. Yeah, we've been married 13 months. When are you going to stop calling us newlyweds?
And you stop holding hands in public.
Mm.
Joe, let's go of her hand. The blue car comes to a stop. The balding man opens the door and pushes Debbie out onto some gravel. As she struggles to sit up, the blue car backs away. She tries to get the tape off of her eyes as she slowly stands. She tries the tape again. At home, Joe carries a hairy dog into the bedroom.
Good girl. Cold, huh? Cold, yeah.
Did she go?
No, not a drop.
Honey, she's got to go. She's too old to get to the dog door anymore. She's got to stay outside before she goes.
All right, come on, Wiggins, come on. You know, Lila, maybe...
Oh, don't even think about it. Geez, Debbie'd have your liver and she'd have mine, too.
Come on. You got to try, sweetie. You got to try.
You excited about the girls coming to visit?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll put them in the spare room. That living room sofa is a lump.
Yeah, well, whatever.
What do you tell the girls about why Debbie isn't living at home anymore?
Well, I haven't told them anything. I mean, there's no need to.
They're bound to ask. I mean, she just moved in last time they came in to visit. Maybe I'll just tell them that she left for a while to make room for them to visit. That'll make them feel great.
Hey, she's 23 years old, Lila.
Yeah, just tell them that we fight so bad we can't live in the same house.
Lila, would you stop?
Maybe I'll tell them that I caught her dead stinking drunk for the umpteenth time after she promised.
Sweetheart, you're doing the right thing.
For us. Or I wouldn't have a life.
Hey, it's for Debbie, too. I mean, you can't let her mouth off to you all the time, and you can't let her drink and lie to you about it.
But maybe I'm just giving in. You know, if I had her here, I could make her toe the line.
Sweetheart, let her grow up.
Grow up without a profession, without some way of making a living, always being dependent on some guy. The truth is, I'm letting myself off the hook and I'm not solving her problem.
A battered and dirty Debbie walks alone to a phone booth. Later at a hospital.
We're almost through. A couple more things, huh?
Okay.
So, after he took you to the park, he dumped you in an alley. Do you know where?
No, not exactly. I could probably find it, though.
Good, good. Next week when you feel up to it.
She nods.
All right. So you know he was black. He was big. He was balding. Do you know anything else? Anything at all?
She shakes her head.
How about the car? A sedan, dark color, manual transmission?
There was a rip in the upholstery in the back seat.
All right. How about the make? License plate?
I didn't think to look.
Okay.
A nurse enters.
Young man, you called us outside.
Look, I want you to get some rest. In a couple of days, we're going to look at some pictures.
Sergeant, is there something that I could have done different?
Nothing. He had a gun.
But what if I'd scream louder or run in the street or fought him or something?
It wasn't your fault. Remember that.
He leaves as Debbie holds a blanket around herself.
You can wear this. We have to keep your clothes for the police.
She gives Debbie a robe.
Debbie, do you want to call your mother again?
No. I'll just get her a stupid answering machine.
And you sure about your father?
No.
Okay.
As the nurse leaves, Danny sheepishly enters.
Hey. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, seeing you look a lot better.
Can I stay with you tonight, Dan?
Don't you want to go home?
No, I don't want my mom to see me like this. I don't really feel like staying at the Women's Center.
She tucks her hair behind her ear. Danny quickly looks at the floor.
Hey, listen, it's okay. You don't have to come for me or anything. You don't even have to touch me if you don't want to. I could sleep on the couch or I could sleep...
Hey, take it easy. It's okay. Okay, you can stay.
Close the curtains, please.
What?
I said, would you please close the curtains?
He pulls the curtains around her hospital bed as she takes the blanket off of her shoulders. She sits for a moment, then starts to cry as she holds the robe close to her chest. Joe pours coffee as Lila reads a newspaper.
Come here, sweetheart. How the Dodgers doing?
They won.
Hey, Weeks. Weeks, come get your biscuits. Weeks, come on.
Still reading the paper, Lila goes to the phone.
Braves 1-2.
Boys.
Hello. Debbie, what is it? What's the matter? Did you have an accident? Are you in trouble or something? I can't promise I won't get mad. Just tell me. Oh, my God. Oh, my poor baby.
Joe's listening.
Are you all right? Are you sure? I'm coming to you right now. Where are you? Well, tell him to bring you here right now. All right.
Lila frowns as she hangs up the phone. Joe shakes his head and raises his eyebrows as he stares at her.
Debbie was right. Oh, that bastard.
Lila.
He's gonna be so sorry he touched my girl. Joe.
She covers her face with her hand. Danny brings Debbie home in his yellow tow truck. She gets out wearing the hospital robe and high-top tennis shoes. Lila runs to her daughter and hugs her.
Oh, baby. Mama, this is Danny.
No.
Lila puts her arm around Debbie as they go into the house.
You're right to see him.
Danny gets back into his tow truck. Later, Lila's on the phone.
For God's sakes, your daughter was raped. I thought you'd want to know about it. What do you mean, is she all right? I just told you.
Mom?
I hear her coming. I'm going to put her on the phone.
Debbie quietly walks in.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'll tell her.
What was that?
Oh, nobody. You called him, didn't you? He's your father.
Like anybody would notice.
Honey, he has a right to know.
What do you say?
He said he hoped you were all right. He really wanted to talk to you.
Sure.
Oh, he did.
How come you always defend him?
I don't.
You do. Like he's always right and I'm always wrong. Tell me one thing, Mom. If he wanted to talk to me so bad, how come you wouldn't let him?
Lila starts to speak, but stops. Debbie lowers her head and rubs her neck. At the police station, a composite of Debbie's attacker is being put together.
How about this?
No, try those other ones.
Lila's talking to the sergeant.
Well, what are you doing to catch this guy?
Well, we didn't get a hit on the mug, but we'll circulate the composite she's doing now and follow up any leads. Naturally, if an attack occurs in the same area or has any similarities, we'll compare notes.
He sits next to Debbie on a desk.
Isn't that pretty close?
Sort of.
Don't you worry, we'll get him.
Debbie nods and steps away as the sergeant puts his hand on her shoulder.
Debbie, look, I know I'm the same color as the man who attacked you, but I just want you to know we get him in all colors. Like I said, don't worry. If he goes on, we'll get him.
How long does he have to go on?
I hope not long. I want to thank you folks for coming.
Yes. You said a minute ago that if another attack occurs in the same place, you compare notes. What does that mean?
We try to figure out if it was the same guy.
You mean these people keep coming back to the same place?
Not all the time, but rapists can be territorial, like sharks.
Well, I saw on TV that you sometimes use decoys.
Yeah, okay, that's what we probably do.
if an attack occurs in the same area.
Right.
Well, why don't you put a decoy out there right now before another woman gets raped?
I'll suggest it to my superiors. Thank you very much.
Debbie and Lila leave as the sergeant shuts the office door. Later in Lila's car, they stop. Debbie sees the street corner where she was abducted.
What are we doing here?
This is it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this all about?
I want to know how it happened. But if it makes you uncomfortable, we'll go.
No, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. I just don't
I want him caught, Debbie.
Well, Mom, I want him caught, too.
So where did he park his car?
I told you, I don't know. He put tape over my eyes.
But you could feel. You know how far I made you walk.
Yeah. We might have crossed the street or something. I remember stepping down, like, off a curb.
So it's on that side. And how far did you walk?
I don't know.
Like a whole block? Half a block?
I don't know, Mother. I don't know, okay? I was really scared. Why are you doing this to me?
They stare at each other. The sergeant is in an office at the station.
Now that makes six. Balding, black dude who uses handcuffs.
Anything near this corner?
One about a mile away, and the mother was asking about decoys. Now maybe what we...
No way. We're stretched tight. Milton was in yesterday asking for help with a dirtbag who works the Northland Mall. And the Candlelight guy's still active.
What the hell are we all of a sudden? The rape capital of the Western world?
Beats me. But we better get a break on one of them. The media's gonna pick this up sooner or later.
Then at least authorize me some overtime so I can huddle with the other shifts.
You got it. Up to 10 hours.
Joe arrives in his SUV with two young girls. Lila comes out to greet them.
There she is.
Oh, I can hear the giggles from inside. How are you, Timmy?
Oh, you're beautiful.
One thing.
Oh, yeah, y'all just hug. I'll get all the luggage myself. I'll get Jeff. Yeah. Come on.
I hope they fed you on the plane.
Debbie stands and looks at her bruised face in a mirror.
Debbie? I really want you to go with us. We'll be in the car.
Debbie leaves her room and goes to the living room where she grabs her coat. She looks around, then opens a cabinet. She grabs a bottle of vodka and guzzles it. She puts the lid on the bottle and returns it to the cabinet. Joe is sucking in spaghetti at a restaurant.
Oh, Dad, that's so sick. Oh, my God.
I was saying, baseball is a boring game anyway.
Boring?
But to be a Dodgers fan in Oregon, that's so weird.
Did he ever take you to a game in San Francisco? Like when the Dodgers play the Giants?
He keeps threatening.
Next week.
He once took us to an Atlanta game, and we're in the middle of these crazy, brave fans. And he stands up and yells, "Go, Murray!
Murray!
You are gonna get killed!"
Hey, your mom's new husband, does he like baseball?
Basketball. North Carolina Chargers.
Basketball.
He's a
fanatic. Lila shows Debbie a sketch on a napkin.
How could anybody watch basketball? Bunch of guys running around.
You didn't seem very happy with the one they did.
Mother, what the hell are you doing?
Nothing. Would you keep your voice down?
Would you please just forget about what happened, okay?
Would you please not talk to your mama like that?
You've been drinking.
Oh, for crying out loud.
You have, haven't you, Debbie?
Here we go again, folks. It's Lila Cumminger's favorite game show. Watch Debbie screw up. She drinks. She goes out with boys her mother doesn't approve of. And just the other night, she was stupid enough to go out and get herself raped. Yeah, that's right, folks. Raped. About 4 hours worth. He did a real bang-up job, too. Yeah, right. Debbie's got to be pretty stupid to let something like that happen, huh? Unless she was lying.
What are you talking about?
Well, why else would you be doing this stupid private eye number, huh?
Debbie stands.
See, Lila thinks that Debbie lies all the time.
That's not true. Would you please sit down and stop?
What are you gawking at?
A couple turns back to their waitress.
It's personal between me and my mother.
She walks out. Lila glances at Joe. She frowns, then gets up and goes to the restroom where a woman's primping in front of a mirror. The woman leaves as Debbie comes out of a stall. Debbie wipes her mouth as she steps closer to her mom. Lila gently wipes Debbie's cheek with a handkerchief, then pulls her closer for a hug. She closes her eyes and holds her daughter tight. That night at the house, Lila's on the phone.
I called during the day, and I was told he was on nights. I'm sure he's very busy. That's the problem. Is there anybody there who can give me some information? Commager. Lila Commager. My daughter was raped over a week ago, and you guys haven't done a damn thing about it. Please don't put me on hold again.
I think I'm gonna send the girls home tomorrow.
Joe, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I understand. It's okay.
Lila puts her chin on her arm.
Joe, this Friday night, what if I went out there?
Out where?
To the bus stop where it happened. You know, you and I could get off a couple hours early. Debbie would never have to know about it.
What are you talking about?
Well, Bogarda said sometimes they come back. You know, maybe he lives in the neighborhood. We kind of know what he looks like.
Forget about it, Lila. That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Well, I don't know what else to do. She won't eat. She sleeps in that damn hospital nightgown all the time. And, well, you saw what happened tonight.
Of course I saw what happened. She's hysterical.
It's because she's terrified. As long as he's still out there.
The police will take care of this.
Joe, the police won't even talk to me.
Okay, Debbie needs help. But you're not going to go standing out on some street corner. You can just forget that. See if she'll talk to one of the shrinks at the hospital.
I tried. She says she doesn't need any therapy. Joe, I've got to do something.
It's night as a police car pulls to a stop. Two officers get out. They start running down an alley. A man tries to crawl up a fire escape, but one of the officers grabs him and he falls into a pile of garbage. As the officer subdues the man, a woman cowers next to a wall and sobs. Debbie walks down some stairs. Bogardus and his boss follow her.
Sorry, it didn't work out, Debbie. Don't worry.
We'll be in touch.
Thanks.
Folks.
He leaves as Debbie goes to Lila and Joe.
Wasn't him. Sorry. It's okay. We'll get him.
I don't want to get him. I just want to forget about him.
Of course you do. And you will, as soon as he's locked up and put away.
What if he's never locked up? What if he's never put away?
She shakes her head as she walks away. Lila and Joe frown. Later, Lila's treating Emmett's bed sores on his back.
Did they catch him yet?
Catch who?
You know. Him. It's been 2 months.
How do you know about that?
If they catch him, you bring him in here, I'll kill him for you.
A woman in a suit is listening at the door.
I will.
Thank you. It won't be necessary.
Because you shouldn't be out there on the streets trying to catch him all by yourself.
Please, quiet.
Even if you do wear a bulletproof vest.
Emmett, I said be quiet.
I mean, they call me crazy.
Will you shut up? If you don't, I will put those restraints back on you and never take them off.
Darn right you're crazy. Head down.
Later.
Can we have an orderly to room 204, please? Orderly to room 204.
The woman in the suit sees Lila as she goes to a break room.
Lila. How's Debbie? Oh, coming along. She been getting any therapy?
She doesn't want any.
Well, I'd be happy to talk to her, if you like. But these rape intervention centers really do a great job.
Yeah, well, I'll keep that in mind.
How about you, Lila?
What about me?
Well, I'm getting a little concerned. You're angry all the time. You're snapping at people. You've lost your sense of humor.
What do you expect?
And now there's this business of going out and capturing the rapist.
Oh, Emmett is a paranoid schizophrenic.
You're saying he's got it wrong?
Dr. Friedhofer, I'd like to have my lunch.
Lila, I think I understand how you're feeling. Debbie's your daughter, and she is your flesh and blood, so in a way it is like he was raping you, but you got to get rid of the rage or it's going to eat you up.
I don't want to get rid of it.
Dr. Friedhofer, please report to the nurse's
You know, even if by some miracle you caught this guy and presented him to Debbie in handcuffs, it's not going to cure what's wrong between the two of you.
The doctor leaves. Later, Lila's driving down a street in her car. She sees the corner where Debbie was abducted. She turns a corner and sees several men in hard hats talking on their coffee break. She stops the car, then compares one of the men to the sketch she drew on the napkin at the restaurant. Later, they're sitting in Joe's SUV as the man works at a construction site.
What do you think?
Well, that hat, it's impossible.
Let's follow him. Maybe he'll take it off.
They watch as the construction worker swings his tool belt over his shoulder. He takes off his hard hat and wipes his head and hair off with a rag.
Sorry. Well, with the hat, there was a resemblance.
To what? Drawing of a man you've never even seen?
Wait a minute, what's this? First Friedhofer, and now you, Joe. I'm not crazy.
Lila, nobody's saying you're
crazy. The cops have done squat since this happened.
They can't manufacture leaves.
Oh, well, you're out there making excuses for him. That son of a bitch thinks he got away with it.
Just take it easy.
Well, he hasn't got away with it. He doesn't know what kind of person I am. Doesn't know whose daughter he raped. He doesn't know me. And you don't know me, Joe, if you think I can just sit here and wait for this cop to come and do something. Where are you going to? Joe!
Joe gets out and walks down the sidewalk.
Joe, what are you doing? Joe!
Lila slides over behind the wheel and follows him.
Joe, get back in the car. Joe, would you please?
Lila, I want you to listen to me. I was married to Gloria for 16 years. I mean, we had a good life. I loved my job at the police department. The girls were wonderful. Things couldn't have been better. And then something happened. She changed. I don't know what it was. To this day, I don't know what changed or why. I just know that she started yelling and making accusations, unbelievable things, right in front of the girls sometimes. I mean, I tried to talk to her, tried to make sense of all of it, but it didn't do any good. She just kept yelling and yelling and yelling. Until finally I started yelling back. That's the day I left.
Lila stares at him.
I never thought I could love anybody again. I want to be with somebody again. I met you. But I made a promise to myself. I swore that I would never again live with a woman that I had to yell at.
She looks down and frowns.
Sorry.
Sweetheart, I don't want you to be sorry. I want you to try and understand. I'm a policeman. I've never been anything else but a cop. So how do you think it makes me feel when a civilian, an amateur, who happens to be my own wife, start running around the city, acting like some damn vigilante, chasing this creep that the real cops can't even get a shot in.
Honey, it's been 2 months and the real cops have no leads. None. And when I call them, they treat me like I'm some damn pest.
Lila, let the cops do their job.
They hold hands. Debbie's at Danny's apartment.
I don't get it. You know, you're always complaining that all I want to do is fool around. So now, after I haven't seen you for God knows how long, and I want to make it nice, I want to take you out to dinner.
I don't want to go to dinner. I just want to make love.
Just like that?
Yeah, just like that.
You know, what's with you anyway? Because, you know, you haven't let me near you since it happened, and, you know, now all of a sudden...
If you're not interested, I'll...
Hey, take it easy. How about I score, you know, some weed, or I can...
No, I just want to see what it's like without anything.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Danny and Debbie are in bed.
It's the same old story. The baby born, but the pain will never change. I've gotten rid of his pictures, gotten rid of the ring. It's been 3 weeks now, though.
such a thing that the hurt should have ceased. But my heart still skips a beat.
Debbie remembers being grabbed at gunpoint.
When the night comes, and the dawn breaks.
As Danny lies on top of her, Debbie stares at the ceiling and remembers being thrown out of the car. As a sign flashes near Danny's apartment window, Debbie leaves with her arms folded across her chest. She jogs to her car and gets in. She drives away. Lila's awake as Joe sleeps beside her. Lila gets out of bed and goes to the living room where she sees Debbie just after she picked up the vodka bottle. Lila stands in front of Debbie, who holds the bottle and faces her.
This is the last time that you will drink in this house.
I haven't been drinking, Mom.
Oh, Debbie.
I haven't. I swear I haven't had anything.
Do you think I'm a fool? It's the last time.
How come you never believe me?
Give me a cause. Give me a reason. Become a responsible person.
You never believe me, not even when I was a little kid.
That's not true.
It is true.
Lila holds up her hands.
Go to bed.
Well, what about when Gemma's parents accused me of stealing and Dad said that I did it and you sided with him? I never stole from her.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but you always sided with him. You never stood up for me.
How dare you? What? Never sided with you. Never stuck up for you. You have no idea how many times I did.
Name one.
One? Hundreds? Thousands? Your father, if it weren't for me, you would have just been just...
I would have been what? What would I have been?
Never mind.
You're such a liar.
She slaps Debbie, who hits her back.
Debbie, you do not! You do!
Lila!
Yeah, it's all right. Never mind.
Lila leaves as Joe glares at Debbie. It's daytime. Lila stops the car and Debbie gets out. She gets her bag out of the back seat as Lila gets out.
Well, if you need anything, be sure to call, okay?
Debbie nods.
And follow up on that job. You know, a live-in job might be just what you need.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
It's okay, don't apologize. I screwed up. I have something for you.
She gets a guitar and a case out of the trunk of the car.
You didn't have to do that.
Well, it's used, so
thanks.
Lila hugs her. Debbie nods as she steps back. Lila watches as she disappears into the Rainbow Women's Center. At some train tracks, the balding man is dragging his next victim. She's also handcuffed, with tape covering her eyes. He drags her to a rundown shack. He tries to put her in it, but she hits her head. He puts her on the ground, then goes in with her. A match is struck.
He pulled you from the car. Do you know where you were?
The woman's with Bogardus.
Well, I couldn't see on account of the tape. But I swear I stepped over some railroad tracks. Anyway, the handcuffs were hurting something fierce. Especially when he would pull at them by grabbing them in the middle. Next thing I know, he's telling me to duck. Only I'm not quick enough. And I hit my head on this real low doorway. He just drags me into the rest of the room. This little smelly room. And then he lights a candle.
Just a minute, Miss Bartholdi. How do you know he lit a candle if you had tape around your eyes?
I could smell the sulfur when he lit the match.
Later.
Are you trying to tell me the candlelight rapist and the handcuff rapist are the same guy?
Could be. Might be. Looks like maybe.
Serial rapist who changes his MO. No wonder we never got close.
And if he keeps on changing, what makes you think we'll ever get close?
A woman in a wheelchair moves a long stick with her mouth to work at a computer. She uses the stick to push a button on an intercom.
Debbie, quitting time.
Debbie enters the woman's office.
You want me to print this out and mail it for you?
No, tomorrow morning will be fine. I'm starving.
Homer out. We still have the remains of that tuna casserole.
Oh, tuna casserole. Now, when was the last time we had takeout Chinese?
God, it was right when I started 3 months ago.
Let's not let that happen again.
Okay. How about Wong's?
No, Wong's is too greasy. I heard about a new place, and it's on our way out.
All right.
Okay. Did you talk to Danny?
Yeah.
Well, what did you say, and then what did he say, and then what did you say?
Well, I took your advice. I mean, what's the sense in working for a social worker if you don't take her advice, right?
Very sensible.
I thought so. Anyway, I was straight with him. I said, Danny, I know that it's been 5 months since it happened, and I've been giving some conflicting signals, but I'm just not feeling very sexual right now. And I told him that I really liked him, and I'd like him to hang around, but if he felt the need to jump into bed every time we saw each other, that it just wasn't going to work for me.
And what did he say?
He said he thought it was bull and I was probably fooling around with somebody else.
What did you say?
I told him to stick it in his ear.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good, actually.
All right, way to go. Go for it, Debbie.
Want to race?
Yeah.
Debbie runs ahead to a van.
No fair. Oh, Debbie.
You're going to have to pick up the pace a little.
Later, Debbie's playing her guitar for the woman as she lies in her bed.
Well, at the time my heart was shattered, had no place to stay. My mind and soul were gone, so we made this trade. You mended my heart and cleansed my mind. My arms and legs I gave you, but I know I made out better through a trade. Forever I'll remember our trade.
That's beautiful. You liked it?
Oh, yes, very much.
Really?
Yes, thank you.
How come you never criticize?
You want criticism?
No, no. It's just in the whole 3 months I've been working for you, you've never... Well, it's like with my mom, whenever I do something, no matter what it is, she always has to point out the bad things. She points out the good, too. She calls it giving me the pros and cons of the situation.
Does that bother you?
I don't know. I just know that it makes me feel like I could never totally please her, like I'm never good enough.
Maybe she just wants you to be the best you can be.
Yeah. She's always saying that I can do anything I set my mind to. Like her. You know, she's amazing. She doesn't take anything off of anybody. When things got bad with my dad, she just went out and became a nurse so she could tell him to stick it and take care of me.
You really admire her, don't you?
Yeah. I just can't live with her.
All right, dear.
At night, a nurse walks with Joe and Lila outside the hospital.
I really appreciate the ride. I'll take the bus during the day, but at night, forget it.
I don't blame you.
A few years ago, I had some trouble.
What kind of trouble?
I was raped.
Raped?
They picked me up at a bus stop.
Where?
Over on Wenatchee, near 7th. I mean, it's miles from here.
Did you see him? I mean, what did he look like? I'm sorry, can you talk about this?
I couldn't for a year, and then I couldn't talk about anything else. Why do you want to know?
At the station.
3 years ago! 3 years! He picked her up at a bus stop not four blocks from where my daughter was raped. And he put surgical tape over her eyes. Does this sound familiar?
Mrs. Cumminger, I wasn't assigned to this case until last June.
Well, someone was assigned to it. Don't you guys talk to each other? Don't you compare notes?
I'll follow up on this. I'll dig out the file. And if it seems connected...
Connected! The guy was black. This happened near Greeley and Hart, and he used the same M.O. He's been doing this for at least 3 years. Sergeant Bogardus, this has been 5 months. I want to know the exact status of the investigation for my daughter's rape.
Well, the file is still active.
She raises her eyebrows.
Still active? Very good.
Later.
I don't buy it. The handcuff guy wasn't active 3 years ago. That was even before the Northland Mall guy.
Never. Get it through, you chump. It's the same guy. And if we accept this one, he could be responsible for over 60 rapes.
She's really got you looking around, Roy.
Yeah, I knew she could become a colossal pain in the neck, but I'll tell you something. She's right. And I'll tell you something else. If she knew what she was looking at, she could blow the whole department out of one, and I got half a mind to show her.
You're out of line, Sergeant.
No, sir, you're out of line. 60 rapes over 3 years, and we haven't got a clue.
And whose fault is that?
It's mine, sir. And theirs, and Crespi's, and Wilkins, but most of all, it is yours, sir. It's yours for assigning six lousy cops to catch this slime.
Bogardus stares at his boss, then leaves. The man in the old blue car is on the prowl again. He drives down a dark, rain-soaked street at night. Danny drops Debbie off in front of the social worker's apartment. They kiss, then Debbie gets out and jokingly throws a beer can at him through the open truck window.
Bye.
The next morning, Debbie prepares the social worker to be moved by a lift.
You were very late getting home.
I'm sorry.
If it's going to happen again, I would appreciate a phone call.
Okay.
Are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Debbie struggles to hook a chain onto the woman's seat.
You'll have to redo this one over here.
Oh, okay.
She goes to the other side and hooks the chain. She starts turning a crank on the lift. The social worker's eyes are wide as it begins to lift her.
Okay, now be careful.
Okay.
Debbie moves the wheelchair out from under her. She yawns as she turns the woman in the lift.
Careful, careful.
Okay.
Debbie checks one of the chains.
There we go.
As Debbie turns something on the lift, the woman falls.
Okay, calm down. Get some control of yourself. Listen, just get the lift.
Okay.
Calm down. Get the lift, put it under my arms.
Okay. Sorry.
Later, Debbie's packing as the social worker watches from her wheelchair.
Please don't make me leave.
I'm sorry.
I promise I won't do it again. I swear I'll never touch another drop.
Debbie, I told you when you started. And the first time that this happened, I have to feel safe. Debbie, sit down. Listen to me. I know how much you want to be a nurse like your mom. But think about this. How are you going to be able to take care of other people if you can't take care of yourself?
Later that night, Debbie's walking alone, carrying her guitar and her bag. Later, she's reading a newspaper as she rides on a city bus. She looks up and sees a man resembling her attacker getting on board. He's wearing a black cap and leather jacket. She stares at him. He glances back and she quickly looks down. She gathers her things and gets off at the next stop. She goes to a payphone.
Birch in seconds. I'll be there. Stay put. I gotta go. There's an emergency.
Lila rushes out of work. Soon, she's picking up Debbie.
You all right?
No.
I swear it was him, only he was wearing a hat.
Well, what number bus?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Maybe it was a 52? Shouldn't you call the police?
Not until we're sure, no.
They weave in and out of traffic, trying to catch up with a city bus.
Is that the bus?
That's it.
Okay, I'll beat it in the next stop.
She speeds to pass the bus. She quickly stops the car and they both get out.
Okay. You follow the bus. If he's not on there, I'll get off at the next stop. And if he is, then I'll just stay on until he gets off.
Mom, I'm not absolutely sure it was him.
Well, it's okay. Well, the cops will check him out. At least we'll have an address.
Lila gets on the bus. She starts moving to her seat as the bus drives onward. She sees the man Debbie told her about. She stumbles and knocks his hat off.
Oh! Sorry.
He frowns at her and puts his hat back on. He's not balding. Lila stares at the floor. Soon after, Debbie and Lila enter a small diner.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know, it's good that you called anyway.
Oh, I didn't expect you to go tearing after him.
What did you expect? What were you doing on that bus anyway? With all your things.
They sit at a counter.
I lost my job.
Oh, no.
It wasn't my fault or anything. You know those two that work for Lois, you know, Terry and Luann? They were bad-mouthing me. They were, like, jealous or something because Lois has been treating me like a daughter. She didn't believe him or anything, but they were there first. And
Lila stares at her with a frown.
I'm lying. I got drunk and I dropped Lois off the Hoyer lift.
Oh, Debbie. What are we going to do with you?
It's okay, you know, you can just take me back to the Women's Center.
Oh, it's all right. Well, go home. It was just too soon, that's all. You weren't ready.
Joe and the sergeant walk across a rooftop. The sergeant has a bulletproof vest.
A decoy? Your wife?
That's right, tomorrow night.
And you're gonna let her do it?
Well, short of handcuffing her to a drain pipe, I can't stop her. Is this the smallest one you got?
Yeah.
Okay, now, she's going to be at the corner of Greeley and Hart at 10 o'clock. I'll be watching her every second, but I was hoping that maybe you could at least let the black and whites in the area...
Joe, just because the guy hit in that area before doesn't mean he's going to hit in there again.
Hey, she knows all that. It's got nothing to do with probabilities. Look, Debbie's been back living with us for the last 3 months, and, well, every time Lila looks at her, all she can think about is that creep out here on the street somewhere.
Well, have you told her that the chances of her getting knocked over by one of the neighborhood
I'm blue in the face. Tomorrow is 1 year exactly since it happened. And Lila's got some cockeyed idea. What is it?
I shouldn't be telling you.
Hey, this is my wife we're talking about. You got something. I want to know what it is.
Joe, the bastard has raped maybe 60 women.
What?
It's not for publication. We think it's one guy who's been active for at least 3 years. And he's bad news, Joe. You hear what I'm saying? Real bad.
It's night as Lila walks alone in her backyard. Someone tackles her from behind. She struggles with him, but he pins her to the ground. It's Joe. He runs and turns on a light. He goes to help her up. She has a stun gun.
So how's that?
Not good.
I mean,
not good. I almost got it on you.
Yeah, almost is not good enough, and it took you too much time. I mean, how's the tape? Can you even fire it? Let me see.
I can fire the stun gun.
Let me see.
There.
Okay, okay.
Mom, I'm home.
Debbie comes home wearing a nursing uniform. Weets the dog is barking at the back door.
Weets? What is it? Hey, Weets, what's going on out there? You stay.
She goes out back to see Lila struggling with Joe.
Hey, get off her! What are you doing? Leave her! It's all right. I'm just showing the big brute. He's not so tough.
Your mom's a real tiger.
Guys are so weird. Guess what? I got off probationary status. I'm a full-fledged nurse's aide now.
Oh, damn it. Hey. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thanks.
Now maybe you can do something about your hair.
What's wrong with my hair?
Well, if you want to be a professional, you gotta look like one.
Debbie pushes back her long hair and frowns.
Congratulations.
Debbie nods.
This thing's not going to do you much good if he sticks a gun to your head.
Well, he won't, didn't it, Debbie? Let's see it.
Here.
You got the tape?
Yeah, it is. Remember, a stun gun will not do you one damn bit of good. If you don't make contact, would you please listen to me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
You've got to make sure that you make contact with him when you fire.
He tapes her hand around the gun.
Got it?
Yeah. I'll make contact.
What are you doing? What are you looking for?
Well, I can't find my tiger rifle.
What? What are you dressing for, a rape?
It's a tiger eye ring you gave me for my birthday.
You don't know that, so?
So, if something happened, I want to have something of that you gave me with me, that's all.
Sweetheart.
He hugs her.
At least you're scared.
Terrified.
Lila, you don't have to do this.
Oh. Yes, I do. I do.
It's night as a bus drives by. In the SUV, Joe and Lila stop at the corner where Debbie was abducted.
I'll be watching you every second.
She gets out and Joe pulls away. She stands alone on the street corner. A squad car comes to a stop nearby.
Is that her? Looks like. I'll tell you, I thought they only had Looney Tunes like that in New York.
They slowly drive past her, and she watches them. Joe parks his SUV across the street and turns off his headlights. As a neon sign flashes above him, he leans forward on the steering wheel and watches his wife. He leans back and frowns. Later, Joe checks his watch. It's 10:20. Lila paces slowly as others board a bus. It pulls away. Men play basketball in the park behind her, but the lights go out and they leave. Lila stretches a little, then straightens her long jacket. She pulls one sleeve over the hand taped around the stun gun. Someone walks up behind her.
Hey, Mama. What's happening?
Joe leans forward.
What's a pretty white girl like you doing out here?
Joe quietly gets out of his car.
I know you ain't waiting for the bus, because I seen you here before the bus came. And I see you still here now that the bus is gone. So if you ain't waiting for the bus, maybe you're waiting for something else. So how about it, Mom? You waiting for me?
Mister, I am an undercover policewoman. And if you are not out of here in 5 seconds, I'm going to blow your ass clear to Seattle.
He holds up his hands and backs away.
No offense, officer. No offense.
As the man leaves, Lila looks over to Joe. Later, she's still pacing under the streetlight at the corner. She looks around. Joe starts his car and slowly drives over to her. He motions her over.
Jet?
It's 12:30. Last bus went by half an hour ago. Even if he showed up, he'd know you were a decoy. I'm sorry, sweetheart. You know, this whole thing, I don't think had much of a chance from the beginning. But at least we tried. Come on.
I'm coming back next Friday night. And the next Friday night, and the Friday night after that, for as long as it takes.
What's this about, Lila?
I'm not just giving up after one night.
Because it's not about Debbie anymore, is it?
What are you talking about? Of course it is.
Yeah, well, why are we keeping this secret from Debbie, huh? Because it would upset her if she knew what we were doing out here, right? And the reason she'd be upset is because she wants to forget this. But you want to keep it alive. Why?
There's a rapist out there.
Well, there are murderers out there, too, and drug dealers and child molesters, but we're not waiting at a bus stop for them.
He is coming back. I know it.
That's not an answer.
Next Friday night.
She doesn't look at him. They leave. The old blue car slowly passes the Ocean Inn restaurant. He's following a woman who's walking alone on a sidewalk. She quickly walks into a convenience store. He drives on, his red taillights shining ominously in the darkness. Later, Lila picks up her bulletproof vest and sets down her drink on a coffee table. Debbie enters.
Hey.
Maybe go to dinner.
Maybe a movie. Shouldn't you get changed for work? You're gonna be late.
No, I switched with Ginny. I'm gonna do the graveyard shift tonight.
Ah, how are you gonna get home? The bus is stopped at midnight.
Danny's gonna drop me.
Danny?
Yeah, Danny the creep. You were right about him. He's a jerk and he makes me feel like last month's garbage, but I keep seeing him. How'd you do it?
How to do what?
We were with Dad for 16 years, and then when it went bad, you just got out like that. How?
Lila!
Give me a few minutes, honey.
Sure.
It didn't just go bad after 16 years. It was rotten from the beginning. It took me 16 years to get out.
Debbie stares at her.
I was taught it was a woman's job to make a man happy. So when he wasn't, I figured it was my fault. I didn't say boo for years. I just tried to dope out what I was doing wrong. In the beginning, he used to complain that the house was real messy, so I became a Miss Neat freak. I read cookbooks, so I could make him these gourmet dinners, and then he'd just bitch about how much money I was spending on food. It seemed like he was angry all the time.
Did you love him?
Yeah, that was part of the problem. They always had this chemistry. I always wanted to please him. But even with that, I don't know how many sexy nightgowns I bought to... After a while, I was just going through the motions. I felt like...
She looks up to see her daughter watching her closely.
Feels very strange when you're talking to you about this.
No, it's okay. Go on.
I felt like a prostitute that wasn't very good at her job.
I had no idea.
When you came along, things were okay for a while, and then, you know, you'd cry or get some mischief, and he'd make out that I was a lousy mother. I must have been yelling at you all the time to keep him off my back.
It's Danny. Gotta go.
Hey, do you remember when you said I didn't defend you? I didn't stand up for you. Well, I didn't. I was afraid of him. I was afraid he would leave us. I had no skills and I had no profession. I didn't know that I could take care of you.
Did he hit you?
Lila reluctantly nods.
Did he hit me?
She cringes as Debbie looks at her.
I'm sorry, Mom.
No. See, don't be sorry. Get rid of him. Dump him. These lowlifes who treat women like doormats. Just get rid of him.
Debbie kisses her mom's cheek, then leaves.
There she is again. Maybe this time she'll catch a bus.
I hope she does. All the way to Montana.
The squad car passes Lila, back standing alone on the street corner. The squad car passes the old blue car as it slowly passes her. Lila watches the man drive by. He turns a corner, then pulls to a stop across the street. He turns off his lights. Across another street, Joe is fiddling with the radio in his SUV. Lila frowns to herself when no one gets out of the old blue car. An older couple in a red car pulls up in front of her.
Miss? Yeah? Don't you happen to know where Greenbrier Street is?
Greenbrier. I think it's up about 3 blocks. Should be a light.
Oh, thank you. Would you like a ride? This doesn't look like the safest place to wait for a bus.
No, thank you. I'll be fine. Thanks.
Oh. All right. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
They drive away. She glances back at the blue car, then looks around. The balding man grabs her.
Oh! No!
I'll blow you!
No! No!
She struggles as Joe reaches into his glove box for his gun.
No!
The balding man throws Lila down into the bushes. She kicks her attacker and they continue to struggle. Joe hurries to her with his gun drawn. She tries to use the stun gun on him but misses.
Who are you? Get away from her!
Get the hell away from her.
The man backs away with his eyes wide.
Lila?
He runs.
No! No!
Lila, you stay there! Stay where you are, Lila!
Joe starts after him. The man runs across a neighborhood street and Joe follows. The man crashes through an old wooden fence. He runs between 2 houses, then climbs another fence. He runs up some stairs on the side of a house. Joe is not far behind. Lila tries to flag down a car.
Stop!
The window
up.
The balding man jumps down off a wall, and Joe does the same. Joe hurries down an alley, then points his gun around a corner. He creeps to the next corner, then pauses with his back to it. He looks through an opening in the fence as Lila goes to a front door.
Help!
A light comes on. A man pulls back a curtain on the door.
Help! I've been attacked. I need you as a phone.
The man looks at her, then opens the door.
Come in.
Out of breath, Joe backs up against a wall near a parking lot. He crouches down and squeezes through a hole in a fence. He kneels beside a red sports car. He looks around, then quickly runs over to a station wagon and hides behind it. He turns to see a homeless man standing, putting his hands over his head. Soon after, Joe walks back to Lila as he frowns and looks down. Joe pulls a gun on Lila and the man who answered the door.
He got away.
He got away? You let him get away?
Later, police officers are questioning neighbors as Lila talks to Bogardus.
I know it was him. He was tall and black and he had a receding hairline.
Okay, I hope you're right.
Well, what if it was him? What good does it do us? He got away.
Yeah, he did. His car didn't.
What car?
He came in that.
She points to the old blue car.
You saw him before he jumped you?
I saw the car drive up and no one got out.
No one got out?
That's what she said, no one got out. Now you can stake it out and see if somebody comes to pick it up, can't you? I mean, you can run the damn plate number through the computer, can't you?
Yeah.
Sure. Look, this kid's my look at this.
She's injured her hand.
Lila, what you did was nuts and dangerous and had about as much chance of catching Gavin Hutton as looking for him in the Yellow Pages. But if it leads to something, I will eat as much crow as you can dish out.
Later.
I want to talk to Sergeant Bogardus or Detective Overton. Yes, I know that. Well, is anybody from the sexual abuse squad available? Right. Yeah, thanks.
Lila's sitting on the stairs.
Nobody's there.
He sits next to her.
I can't find out if he came back to the car or not. We'll just have to wait till morning.
He puts his arm around her, but she flinches.
He had his hands on me.
I should have shot him.
She looks at him.
Yes, you should have.
Later.
It's gonna sound crazy, but I really think you're gonna be kind of proud of your own mother. First of all, I really am okay. I arranged my
Mom, hair. Mom, what happened?
What happened last night? I went back to the bus stop where the guy grabbed you. I knew he was gonna come back, and he did. And he grabbed me too, and it was the same guy. I am positive.
Mom, did he?
No, it was okay. Joe was there, he was watching, and he chased the guy. He got away, but we got his license number, and the police are picking him up at any time. Say something?
I don't know what to say.
Joe said there are 5,000 cops in Franklin County, and we're the ones who got him. What's the matter, Debbie? I practically told you that your mother has captured the guy who raped you.
It just feels so weird, that's all. I mean, you go back there after a whole year, and then he shows up like he was waiting or something.
Debbie, you missed the point.
It sounds like some crazy thing that I do. You get mad at me over.
Debbie!
No, I'm sorry. I can just hear you. I can hear the old pros and cons.
Well, Debbie, it was a very brave thing for you to do, but you were also very foolish and irresponsible putting yourself in danger like that.
I mean, Mom, he rapes me and then almost leaves me without a mother, too.
Lila turns away as Debbie sits on a bench.
I thought it was over. Done with. I didn't think he could hurt me anymore.
Now he can never hurt
you. Don't you understand? I put it away, okay? I made myself forget, and now I remember. I remember everything. I remember what he looked like. I remember what it felt to have his hands on me. I remember how much it hurt. I remember how scared I was. Why did you make me remember?
As Debbie leaves, Lila starts to say something, but stops.
No. No, it is not damn satisfactory.
What happened?
They lost him.
Lost who?
Him. Him, the guy. They staked out the car. He came back about 3 a.m. Balding black guy, just like we said. And when they went to follow him, the undercover car wouldn't start. Wouldn't start. I can't believe it.
That's bull. From the beginning, they have not taken me seriously. Why didn't they just arrest him?
Because they say they don't know if the balding black guy who got into the car is the same balding black guy that jumped you.
He could be anywhere now.
No. The DMV can match up the license plate number to an address. That we know.
Have they done it?
No. No, they haven't done it. They won't make a move without Bogardus. And nobody knows where the hell he is.
What? He knows he was set up. He's going to run.
Lila, I told him that. But unless they can positively ID the guy in the car as the guy that jumped you...
He holds out his arms and she rolls her eyes.
Joe, in your office, can you access the DMV computer?
The computer brings up the name Warren G. Thurlow and his address.
There it is. And that's not far from here, just a few minutes. I'll go check it out.
We'll go check it out.
Oh, sweetheart, you're not going anywhere. I've seen this guy. I can ID him. I'm doing this by myself.
Honey, I'm not letting go now.
Let's go.
Later, Lila sits on a bench and keeps an eye on an apartment building from a short distance away as Joe walks up with two coffees.
Yes, sweetheart. It's hot.
Thank you.
Anything?
No, not yet. No milk?
Oh, they didn't have any milk.
The balding man emerges from the building. Lila stands.
And it's him?
He's wearing the blue jacket. They quickly walk toward him as he crosses a street and gets in his old blue car.
Oh.
Just take it easy.
Yeah.
Drink your coffee. Lila?
Huh?
I need you to take the keys and go get the car.
Where are you going to go?
I'm going to... Gonna keep him in sight. Nice and easy. Slow.
Yeah.
Slow.
Okay.
She tries to juggle the hot coffee, but decides to toss it aside. She quickly walks toward the SUV and gets in. The old blue car passes her as she goes to pick up Joe, who gets in after dropping his own coffee. They follow Thurlow.
Get not too close. Not too close, Lila. He'll make us.
How am I supposed to get a good look at him if I don't get close?
Maybe we can pull up alongside of him at a traffic light.
They follow him around a corner. At the next traffic light, Lila pulls up alongside him. He sees them staring at him.
It's him.
He pulls in front of Lila and tries to get away, but Lila stays with him.
Hold on.
She darts around cars as Thurlow squeezes between cars on a city street.
Lila, what the hell are you doing?
Joe braces himself as Lila dodges another car. Thurlow nearly causes an accident, but Lila remains behind him. They drive down some back alleys and almost hit cars as they emerge. The old blue car leaps over a hill, and so does Joe's SUV.
Lila, stop the car.
No! I don't let him get away!
Lila!
No! Don't! Don't!
You're gonna kill somebody!
Don't! Joe!
They stop.
Take it easy, sweetheart.
Let him go, Joe! When you could have shot him, you didn't. He just attacked me! And he raped Debbie and God knows how many other women. That's not worth shooting someone for. It's just rape. Oh, you guys don't think rape is a real crime. Not for men, it's not, isn't it? Why didn't you shoot him when you had a chance, you coward? Joe, geez, you let him go.
She puts her hand to her face as he rubs her neck. She waves him away. Later, Joe's at a payphone.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's great. Thanks.
He returns to Lila in the SUV.
I talked to Bogardus. He's on it.
Joe, I know you couldn't have shot him. He was running away.
He doesn't look at her.
I love you. Please forgive me.
She touches his arm and he rubs her hand. He kisses her hand and looks up at her. She smiles. Later, Thurlow's sitting at a card table. He quickly turns around, then quietly walks to his apartment door.
Who is it?
Police.
Thurlow opens the door.
Warren Thurlow? Mr. Thurlow, your car has been identified as being at the scene of a crime. I wonder if you'd mind coming down to the station to help us straighten this out?
Yes, sure.
Later, Debbie's looking at a lineup. Thurlow is number 5.
That's him, number 5.
She walks away.
You certain?
Another victim nods.
Number 5?
A third victim nods.
Are you absolutely sure you're not mistaken?
A fourth victim.
No. I'd never forget that face.
Oh, positively. Number 5. Anybody else ID him?
Everybody else, including Debbie.
Is that enough?
Just a couple of formalities left, like a grand jury hearing and a trial.
But besides the positive IDs, we also got a match on the print from the railroad shack. And we're sending in samples of his DNA so we can really nail his butt to the barnyard door.
Any crows in that barn, Bogardus?
Yeah, enough for all of us to eat. We all thought you were certifiable, Lila, me included. But we were wrong. And you know, there are about 100 women out there, not counting those who won't be raped, who can be damn glad of it.
Later, Debbie and Lila stare at each other.
Okay, ladies, it's time to meet the press. I told them we'd be down as soon as you'd finished. They want to have a press conference.
Press conference? Absolutely not.
Now, Lila, they told me if you meet with them just this once, they won't all be pestering us. They also told me that they think it's a very, very important story. I mean, there's even somebody here from New York.
All right, but not you, honey, okay?
What do you mean?
What, you want your face plastered all over TV?
Mom, there's no shame in being raped. It wasn't my fault, and it wasn't your fault either.
Excuse me.
Honey.
No, listen to me. What you did was very brave, Mom. It really was. And you probably saved a lot of women, but you made me a victim.
What are you saying? Don't you understand? Poor little Debbie got raped. Poor little Debbie who can't take care of herself anyway. Mama will protect her because there's no way in hell she can do it herself.
I didn't mean that.
No, you didn't. That's how it feels.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. 23 years old. I'm not gonna let Warren Thurlow or anybody make me a victim one day longer. Would it be okay?
Lila sighs and nods. They hug.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
Later, Debbie's playing the guitar at the hospital. Lila and Joe are watching.
Thank you. I'd like to do one more for you. This is a song that I wrote about what happened to me, and I'd like to dedicate it to my mother.
Well, I have spent too much time playing the victim. Sad as hell from now on. Well, I sold my blues to the 11 o'clock news. They want a story. They always
gone, but this time I'll win. Cause I'm not gone, not gonna, no, I'm not gonna be alone.
Tears fill Lila's eyes.
Can't you see me going down, 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 down to a place where I can't be found? And you'll see me climbing back out in a new direction. He thought he stole all of me, but he left two things, you see. My song and pride, they're keeping me alive.
Lila wipes away her tears. Debbie smiles at her mom. Lila stares at her proudly. On May 7, 1989, Warren Thurlow was convicted of 94 counts of rape, kidnapping, and aggravated robbery. He's now serving a life sentence plus 1,420 years in the state penitentiary.